today's saint, Saint Lucy, always comes in the middle of Advent. She is one of these contradictory figures because she is young and she's martyred, a virgin martyr. She's the kind of her life and tragic death, or cruel death, she's tortured and killed, executed, is the kind of situation that makes people say, I'm talking about critics or skeptics, typical modern mind, that would say, well, you say there's a benevolent God, there's some kind of a great grandfather in the sky, and if you call out to him, he will hear you and help you. What about Lucy? She dedicated her life to God, and God let her get brutally killed. Now, that's not a new argument, that people ask that even in the time of St. Lucy, but it's certainly a common sentiment now. When things go wrong, when there's suffering, people say, well, if there is a God, why am I suffering, or why are we suffering? If there's a God, why does it take so long for the prayers of the church to get him to stop the pandemic? Where's the mercy and love and compassion and good shepherding in that? And it's a good question. I mean, I'm trying to pose it in a challenging way, but it's good to be challenged because it's not obvious when things are going wrong. It's not obvious what God is up to. And God knows that we struggle with this. So, through all the ages of history, he sends us messengers. In the Old Testament, times of the Old Testament, it was prophets. People who could speak for him. People who could give his perspective on why things are the way they are. Sometimes the role of the prophets was sometimes to criticize the very people who are complaining and say, well, you're not being faithful, so no wonder you're creating a contradictory situation for yourselves. If you were faithful to God, you wouldn't be enslaved or exiled. So that's sometimes the message of the prophets. On the other hand, sometimes the message is, you are suffering, you're feeling burdened to a degree you can't handle, but the Lord tells you that a time of relief will come, a time of restoration will come, so a word of consolation. So sometimes a word of what sounds like condemnation, but is really a call to change, and sometimes a word of consolation. Persevere, don't give up your faith. That's how the prophets speak. And even, that's certainly the prophets of the Old Testament, but even more in the New Testament and in the age of the church, this is the constant work of proclaiming the gospel. Sometimes it's our own fault, and we have to recognize that we are not perfect people and we don't live in a perfect world, and sin makes things worse for everybody. That has to be said again and again, because the typical critic of religion or the church will say, here we're doing everything right and God isn't doing anything for us. It's a very arrogant position if you look at it honestly. And the church, the proclaiming of the gospel is also, don't give up your hope, don't give up your faith. God is faithful and he does not abandon his people. Saint Lucy, even though she was called on to endure torture and martyrdom at a young age, she was rewarded. She was taken into glory. She has no complaints about the justice of God. She sees the whole picture and she's proclaiming that she made the right choice. If you ask her, she would say, yeah, I did exactly what I should do. I'm glad I was faithful to Jesus Christ and to my vow of virginity because he took me home. into glory. So the prophets are constantly speaking for God. Now, people often think of the prophets as those who foretell the future. That's sometimes what they do, but they're really just spokesmen for God. They're mouthpieces for God. Today's first reading gives us a very striking one. Balaam, or Balaam. He's a man who has a perception of how God sees things. And this is how he even describes his experience. He says, I'm one who hears what God says. My eye is true. He doesn't say it like that. He says the utterance of a man whose eye is true, one who hears what God says. He's talking about himself. I hear what God says. I know what the Most High knows. I see what the Almighty sees. Enraptured and with eyes unveiled. It's quite a claim to be able to see what God sees, know what God knows. Now, it's not an absolute claim. He doesn't know everything God knows. No one does. But he has insight into the plan of God. And one of the things he says in today's prophecy is, I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. It's a prophecy of the Messiah. The mention of a star makes us immediately think of the Magi. They saw a star. That's when the star came. Hundreds and hundreds of years after Balaam made this utterance. So, to say, I see him, though not now, is a very mysterious way of talking. Either you see him or you don't. And he says, I see him, but I don't. I see him, but I don't see him right now. Meaning, I see him in the future. I'm looking into the future. I see someone who is to come, a star that is to rise. He's not near, but he will come. So, this is a prophetic utterance because it gives God's perspective. And the reason why I say it this way is because, for example, when people are puzzled by a St. Lucy and why she had to suffer so much, or people are puzzled by any experience of suffering, and it is a puzzling or disturbing experience, suffering. When we're asking why, well, we're given a glimpse of light to say, well, we can't see it now. Or we can say, we can see it, but not now. We can see God's plan unfolding, but not yet. It's here, but not fully manifest. It's an Advent spirit, for sure. In Advent, we are preparing for the Lord to come. And we're saying, he will come. We don't know when. In some sense, it doesn't really matter, because God, if it mattered, God would reveal it. But he doesn't. He doesn't tell us when he will come. But we see him in faith. We say, well, he is coming. In fact, he's here. We just can't see him. Okay, so that's the background here. Then we turn to today's gospel, and we get Jesus in Holy Week. It's a little bit surprising that the church decides to take a passage from the later part of the gospel. We think of Advent as preparing for Jesus' birth, and it is. When we get to December 17, we'll be focusing on those early stages of Jesus' entry into the world. But we're still in the first part of Advent, and it's about Jesus coming. So here, we're looking at an encounter that Jesus has with the authorities within a few days before his death. It's the very end of his public ministry. And we find out he's still talking about John the Baptist. He's still talking about John the Baptist. Up until the day of his death, practically, he's saying, what about John the Baptist? So that's why this is an Advent gospel, because John the Baptist is an Advent figure. Now, John the Baptist, by this time, was dead. He himself had been martyred. He who was hailed as a prophet and Jesus himself said was the greatest of the prophets. Well, look at what happened to him. Killed by Herod, head on a platter given to a girl. What a terrible thing to happen. Jesus is not saying, what about John the Baptist? He's proof that God doesn't take care of us. He's saying, what about John the Baptist? Was he a prophet or not? Was his baptism of heavenly origin or not? You have to face the figure of John the Baptist, or you won't be able to understand what I'm doing. That's Jesus' argument. Because they came up to him and said, well, where did you get this authority? By whose authority? Who sent you to do this? He can't very well say, the Father sent, he could be true, but he couldn't say it to them because their hearts are hardened. He can't say, well, the Father sent me, I came from the Father. Because they were not ready to listen. So rather than give them something they can't handle, he gives them John the Baptist again. What about John the Baptist? Everybody knows he's a prophet. What about you? A prophet's authority comes from God. That's what a prophet is. He's sent by God. He speaks for God. So John, his message and his ministry of baptizing for repentance was of heavenly origin. The chief priests and the elders are not willing to say it. They're not willing to give any answer at all. Now, it's a little bit ironic. The Bible has lots of irony like this, but this is one case of irony where these are the authorities. These are the top authorities. They're questioning this Jesus about his authority, thinking they've got him because he has no authority. And suddenly they find themselves not being able to give an answer, meaning they really don't have any authority because they're not giving any answer. They're the ones who should have the answers about religious questions. What about John? But they back off, meaning they do have authority. They have their role in the Jewish tradition, but they didn't have authority, or they no longer claimed authority over what was really happening now, meaning the ministry of John and now the arrival of the one John prepared for, the Messiah. Okay, now what we can do for ourselves, because thinking about John and Jesus and thinking about prophets of Balaam and the Old Testament prophets, or even thinking about St. Lucy, can seem to us like, well, that's a lot of ancient history and it's nice to know, but it doesn't really mean anything. Well, no, it means a lot, because what it tells us is that the way God sees things is that he has a plan, a big plan and a great plan, and he's bringing that plan about. He wants us to know it, so he sends prophets, he sends Balaam, he sends John the Baptist. Finally, he makes the plan come fully into reality with Jesus Christ. He wants us to know it. Because if we don't know the plan, then when something goes wrong and we're suffering, then we'll think God is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. This is always what happens. Our vision narrows down to what I don't like. Well, that's very narrow. That's really arrogant to think that the whole world should run around or should be organized around what you like. Let's face it, it doesn't. The world is not all about us. It is all about God. So to have someone who hears what God says and who knows what the Most High knows, who sees what the Almighty sees and raptured him with eyes unveiled, is a great gift to us, because we can't see those things. when we ponder the words of the prophets, we welcome the ministry of John the Baptist, especially his call to turn away from sin and prepare the way. We welcome this so that we can see what God is doing. Not that we can see everything, but we can see enough to be able to trust in God. And we especially welcome the authority of Jesus Christ, the very thing that's being questioned in the gospel. If John the Baptist is of heavenly origin, Jesus is much more of heavenly origin. He's from heaven. He came down from heaven. He is God made flesh. This is what we celebrate in Christmas. So it doesn't mean we won't suffer. It doesn't mean we won't be martyred. It doesn't mean things won't go wrong. They will. That's the truth. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't care or he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. It just means we can't see. So we're the ones that have to open our eyes with faith. And God gives us lots of light, including St. Lucy. Light. So with this light, we continue our Advent journey.